this is the Angry GM, and this is the supplemental question and answer podcast that goes along with the proofread aloud I just finished proofreading aloud, which was the article Game Mastering Makes No Sense. Now that I'm done reading it aloud for a studio audience, I'm going to go to that studio audience and see if anybody has any questions or comments, and I am going to respond to them. So let's see what we've got. First, Jack the Red Creeper. How much does relax and run the game don't involve the conscious mind tie into improvisation, if it does? Absolutely none of it. They are two completely different things. Queasel. The consumed media you enjoy bit. As someone who hasn't seen a lot of older classic films, do you have any movies you'd recommend? I mean, like, that is such a big field. Like, what kind of movies do you like? Honestly, if you're role-playing game specific, my top three movies. Okay. Number one, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. An absolute work of art, and anybody who tells you different is full of shit. Okay, that movie, the Peter Jackson one, is a cinematic masterpiece in pretty much every way. In terms of solid narrative and storytelling, see the original Jurassic Park and then lament the fact that they never, ever, ever made any sequels to that. That is my go-to for explaining basically everything about theming and character that you ever wanted to know. Geez, why can't I think of a third? You'd think I could think of a third. Because it's different than just like rattling off all my favorite movies, right? I have a lot of favorite movies, but, geez. Huh. I don't know. I can't think of a third one. Those are two good ones. That's like, well, I mean, Lord of the Rings is in there, and then you're going to want to watch the other two. So, you know, that's 14 hours of your time right there. And then Jurassic Park makes it 16 and a half. That, you know, that's a part-time work week. That'll get you through until I come up with more ideas. Dan Floor, how long would you recommend focusing on one aspect of your game before trying to focus and improve on another aspect? Until you feel comfy, or, you know, a couple of weeks. Look, it's always going to take you some time just to keep remembering a piece of advice and applying it. So after you read, say, an article on narration, if you decide your narration is desperately in need of help, and you decide that my advice is the help it needs, then the next thing you're going to have to do is go to every game session and remind yourself, okay, Angry said this, Angry said this, Angry said this. Okay, now I'm giving my narration. Am I doing it? I'm not doing it. Okay, I have to remember to do it. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay, 2 to 3 weeks of that. 2 to 3 weeks of just that running in your head before you have even, you know, remember the advice enough that it starts to feel natural. Once you hit the point where you no longer have to keep reminding yourself to do it or catching yourself not doing it, then look for the next thing you need. Okay, it's like, okay, I'm not running my encounters very well. They feel slow and clunky, and the way Angry described it on his website, because his advice is the only advice worth taking anyway. So Angry gave me good advice about, you know, managing encounters or running combat. Let me try that for a couple of weeks, too. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, until you no longer keep catching yourself not doing it. Okay. Let's see. Is the act of practice better than reflecting on whether it was a good or bad session? Yes. Yes. Reflection is analytical. Okay. It depends on how you do it. There are good ways to do reflection, okay? But in general, reflection is analytical. Go to the game, run the game, trust your brain to know while you're running it whether things are going well and bad, and to be making adjustments in your brain accordingly, okay? This happens. If you hook electrical wires to your brain in just the right place, you can make it happen faster, but I do not recommend that. There was an excellent Radiolab discussion of this, called 9 Volt Nirvana. If you can find that episode, absolutely fascinating episode. They were training a reporter who'd never fired a gun to be a sniper by hooking her brain up to a car battery, essentially. But yeah, and it drew heavily on this whole concept of neuroplasticity, on how your brain rewires itself experientially. Okay. Stop reflecting, stop thinking, stop analyzing, get the hell out of your head. If you really want to reflect, okay, and honestly, this is probably good for building up your spirit and something that I should say. At the end of every game session, write down one thing you enjoyed from that session. Then write down one thing you thought you did really well. Then write down one place where you felt uncomfortable. Okay, keep a little journal. And then write down, so what did I do well this session? I really ran, you know, that villain, I portrayed him really well and the players hated him. What did I enjoy? I really enjoyed when the players opened the tomb and then they were stunned to discover there was no body in there. And then where did I feel things weren't going well? It's like I really struggled with narrating, you know, setting the scene at the start of the game. Okay, do that. That's your reflection. Keep a journal, answer those three questions, and then friggin' stop. Okay, and do it after every session. Every once in a while, go back and read through everything. That is actually a cognitive behavioral therapy technique that I am not qualified to instruct you in, and you should not use for anything other than game mastering. But definitely try that. If nothing else, you'll feel better about your games. Okay, it takes a few weeks to work, but you'll feel better about your games if you are forced to at least identify a couple of things you did well out of every session. Okay, if we haven't been especially... Quizzle is... Oh, Doug is asking 9-volt what? 9-volt nirvana, with the concept of non-being, right? From Hinduism and Buddhism. 9-volt nirvana. Someone could probably find it. It is called Radiolab. It is from New York Public Radio, and the title of the episode is 9-Volt Nirvana, and it has just been posted. It is a fantastic and really creepy episode. Anyway, let's see, Quizzle. If we haven't been especially good about enforcing pain in the ass mechanics in a given campaign, is suddenly cracking down or imposing a bunch of them at once okay? Encumbrance, ration tracking, ammo tracking, whatever. Look, you might as well, okay? Because they're all related anyway. In general, I would say try to make one change at a time, but you can say that, like, it's all a matter of perception, okay? So you can absolutely say that, like all of those things are just one thing. It's like, hey, we need to start tracking all, you know, all the details more. Just, and then that's just one change. And he's, and that change will include encumbrance and rations and ammo and whatever. Okay. So yeah, that's just one change. Whatever you're going to do, your players are going to hate it. They're going to say, no, we don't want to do this. We're going to make the game ruined. And then you're going to have 2 or 3 weeks of, oh, we have to do that. I forgot. I'm not doing it. And you having to be the, yeah, but you got to do it. And it's going to suck for 2 to 3 weeks. And then the players will accept it because they will realize you're serious and is out of their control. And they're not actually going to quit your game unless you're running a very bad game to begin with. And then they'll walk away anyway. But what are they going to do? Get an AI online to run them a game? Okay. This is the thing. Like, we are now going back into a period where the GMs are going to have all the power, by the way. This is just related to the role-playing game community in general. GMs are going to have the power going forward. Okay. They are. So keep that in mind. anyway. So yeah, just implement them all at once. Expect that it's going to be 2 to 3 weeks of grumbling and then 2 to 3 weeks more of just getting used to it. And then just be in it for the long haul and just power through it. Okay. There's no good way to break bad news. There's no way to soften it up. There's no way to make people accept it any better. They're not going to like it. You know, so you just got to power through it. If you have 10 changes you want to make and they're all going to suck, you might as well make them all at once. Okay. Arky. In regards to bookkeeping, do your players ever transcend it? For example, trekking through the same area of wilderness over and over again. Either I'm confused about what transcend means, or you do. You are. And I think it might be me. I don't know what you're asking there, Arky. So if you could rephrase that question, I'd appreciate it. While I'm waiting for some clarity from Arky, I see Nori saying in the chat, all right, next session as I run my game, I'm hooking my brain to a car battery. We'll see how it goes. For legal reasons, I have to say, do not do that. Okay, the podcast that I also mentioned also says very clearly, do not do that. Don't do it. Okay, Quizzle is asking me if I would expand on the point that GM's having all the power going forward. What do I think will drive that trend? Oh, well, it's actually, this has been going on a while, but there is already a drastic shortage of game masters. And I should point out as I'm making these jokes about the AI running games, the Wizards of the Coast has come out and clarified that that's not what they meant, and they're certainly not working on that, and they're never going to do that, and ignore the fact they've been buying up, you know, like, supercomputers and, like, Matrix pods. So, for whatever it's worth, they said they're not doing that. But really, there is a shortage of game masters. Okay, people don't want to run games, and the community over the years has become increasingly hostile toward game mastering. That is a whole other long discussion that I really don't want to go too heavy into right now. So just trust me when I say that the community as a whole has become hostile to game masters, but it has spent years telling game masters that what you want and how you enjoy running games matters less than you shutting up and giving the players what you want. The knock-on effect of that is that they've been driving game masters away from role-playing games for a long time now. And you're starting to see the effects. Lots of players are complaining in a lot of forums and in a lot of places they can't find GMs. And the emergence of paid game masters is a sign that that is happening. Whenever somebody can charge for something, that means there is a demand for it. And the more that people can charge for it, the less supply there is, or the more demand there is. There's just not a match between the number of game masters who are needed and the number of game masters that are available. And I don't see that trend changing anytime soon. So, as a game master, if you are afraid that if you make changes to your game, your players are going to walk away and refuse to play your game, invite them to do so and then wait 2 weeks. They'll be back. Meanwhile, Arky has clarified, are your players ever able to trek in the wilderness without ration tracking? Do you ever eventually hand wave travel? You kind of missed the point of that whole discussion there with how the tracking of the rations increases immersion because it's a pain in the ass reminder that rations are a thing that have to be tracked because in this simulated world, people have to eat whether they want to or not. The point is not to simulate the game or simulate the world or game balance or whatever else you might think the mechanic is. Literally, the point is every time you nudge the players and say, don't forget to eat, you're reminding their stupid brains that crave immersion that their characters are not just abstract concepts in a game, but they are real people who need to be fed or they will starve and die. Okay? The human brain is desperate to personify things. The more human-like behaviors you ascribe to a character, the more you believe that character is a person. If you constantly remind the players that their character needs to eat, their stupid brains will start to care about it like a person. I shit you not, okay? So the point is not, can we do this without tracking and can we hand wave it? The point is doing it every damn time because those annoying reminders serve an important brain function in the players. You can do it with, like, you can skip tracking rations. Ask literally anyone who runs D&D. You can go without tracking rations. Everybody does. And even this is the thing, like even in D&D 5e, where it's really super, super duper easy for a party to feed itself in the wilderness with a trivial die roll, making them roll the trivial die roll and making someone declare that their job for the day is foraging food and feeding the party serves the same purpose. It serves as an obnoxious reminder that characters need to eat, even though game mechanically it would be really a whole lot easier if we all just ignored that. We can't ignore it because people need food. And that's the trick. All right, so that has been the proofread aloud for the article Game Mastering Makes No Sense. I want to thank everybody who turned out to listen as I recorded it and to ask questions, to apologize to Nori for suggesting they might need to be removed from the human gene pool. It was a joke. And also to apologize to Arky for giving them a hard time about their question because I really wasn't grasping what they were trying to say. Anyway, thank you all, and I will talk again next week.